You are listening to a podcast from the World Stroke Academy, the educational platform of the World Stroke Organization.
On the occasion of International Women's Day, we at the World Stroke Academy want to celebrate the achievements and careers of women in stroke and highlight female leadership. We interviewed outstanding women who were nominated by WSO board members for their important contributions to the field of stroke.
This is the fourth episode of the hashtag Women in Stroke Initiative podcast.
Hi, I'm Professor Anita Arsovska, Associate Commissioning Editor of the World Stroke Academy, and I'm here today with Professor Cheryl Bushnell. Hi, Cheryl. It's great to have you here with us.
Hi, Anita. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Dr. Bushnell completed her neurology residency training, stroke research fellowship, and graduate degree in clinical research at Duke University. After 6 years on faculty in the Duke Division of Neurology, she joined the neurology faculty at Wake Forest Baptist October 2007. She was associated director of the Women's Health Center of Excellence from 2008 until 2010, led by WFB Stroke Center from October 2010 to June 2018, and has been Vice Chair of Research in the Department of Neurology since July 2018. Her clinical practice is focused on inpatient and outpatient stroke treatment across the continuum. Her research spans women's issues related to stroke, including sex differences, preeclampsia, and registry to study maternal and newborn stroke. Her current focus is on novel treatment for post-stroke cognition and post-discharge care for stroke patients. She led the development of a new model of care using a nurse practitioner nurse care team, which was shown to decrease 30-day readmissions. She is co-PI of Comprehensive Post-Acute Stroke Service, COMPA study, a pragmatic clinical trial funded by Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute, which compares an enhanced version of your WFBMC post-acute stroke model of care versus usual care in 41 hospitals across North Carolina. She is PI of the Western NC Stroke Net Regional Coordinated Center, funded by NIH-NINDC, and co-director of the Neuroscience Clinical Trial and Innovation Center at WFBMC. Cheryl, first of all, congratulations on the nomination by the WSO board members.
Well, thank you so much. I'm really honored.
So let's start with the first question. How did you become interested in stroke medicine?
Well, this was back in residency, neurology residency, I really enjoyed the continuity of care and the sort of dynamic evolution of symptoms that these stroke patients had when I was taking care of them in the hospital. And I spent a lot of time trying to understand how to talk to patients who've just had a stroke. And I used that opportunity to try to understand what are the clinical and social implications of having a stroke for those patients? And then I, of course, as you read about what's happening in stroke care, and this is back in the mid-90s, TPA was just becoming FDA approved. So I was really hyper aware of the fact that stroke was a public health problem. And because I knew I wanted to do academic research, I saw stroke as this perfect avenue to not only impact public health, but it would provide just sort of endless research opportunities because there are so many people who suffer from stroke. So that's really what motivated me to go into stroke medicine. And I mean, I, you know, I, everybody, I think, who does neurology residency kind of goes through and ticks off the things that they are not as interested in. And I just realized I was much more interested in, the central nervous system versus the peripheral nervous system. And, you know, that along with my research interests in this public health problem that was really evident at the time, it was a pretty easy decision ultimately.
Yes. What does it mean for you when somebody is outstanding in your area of research or field?
To me, I think people who are really leading the way in either research or clinical development or administration, for that matter, they're innovative. They're not afraid to break barriers, and they do everything with integrity. So I think that this is the true definition of a successful leader in any of these areas. I think the other really important thing is that these people do not let the fear of failing get in the way of pursuing goals. And I think that that's something that can be really challenging for young people, because they feel vulnerable and they are just so afraid of, taking the wrong step or, doing something that ultimately ends up in failure. But all that is just a lesson to learn from and move to the next thing. And that's really what leaders do, is they are constantly learning, assessing what's happened, and building on that to make their plan flow towards their ultimate goal. And I think that those are just some of the key things that I thought about when I saw this question. Do you have any other clarifications that you would like to ask related to that, or does that answer it sufficiently?
Yes, it answers it sufficiently. Thank you. And your experience as director of a comprehensive stroke center, do you think leadership in neurology differs somewhat by gender? And if yes, how?
Well, the short answer is absolutely. and I guess, I think women have a very different leadership style, although there are certainly women who take on more of a male leadership style. But I think that inherently women who take on this type of leadership role are typically organized, goal-oriented, selfless. They prefer to lead by example. I think women tend to be more team-oriented and, trying to get everybody to work together for this shared vision for how a center can run. The women that I know in this type of position, and I'm actually on, I'm secretly happy to not be doing the Comprehensive Stroke Center, even though it was a challenge and I got a lot of satisfaction from it. I found it really difficult to do both that and research and a lot of grants. And so I fully am in awe of women or other, even men, who can run a comprehensive stroke center and do a really high-powered research program. But I just think that women in that position, they just want to get the work done. And they want to make sure that center is run as well as it can. And this is challenging because you have a lot of regulatory issues that you have to be on top of. You have to be able to organize data. You have to have people who understand how to enter and extract data. This is really, really challenging. And when I was running it, we had very few resources. But I'm really pleased that now with a much bigger staff, Dr. Guzik, who's running our Comprehensive Stroke Center, has really made it flourish. And hopefully I had a little bit to do with laying some of the groundwork, but I just think that running a center is truly, something that women have all the right qualities to do and to do it well. So, I think that that's, that's true for running a department in addition to running a section or a center.
Yes. And what is the best piece of advice you have received during your career?
Well, the first piece of advice that I try to live by is to always be humble. This was something that our dean of the medical school, my very first day of medical school, said in front of our entire first year class. And it's really had a lasting impact. And then the second piece of advice I would say is to pay it forward and to focus on mentoring the next generation. And I think that that's something that was hard for me to shift to do because, you know, you, as a mid-career, earlier mid-career, you're focused on getting grants or publishing, a lot of things that take up your time. It's really hard to mentor at the same time. And so I've really shifted my focus, and this is something that other people have advised me to do. And I just think that it's really important now to pay it forward. So that would be kind of the second piece of advice that I found really, really useful.
What would you say has been the greatest achievement of your career?
Well, I have to probably back up to 2011 when I started a QI project that came out of some registry research, and I found that it was really difficult for stroke patients to manage their medications, and I really wanted to focus on that. And so we started a program where we would coach patients about their medications to give them as much education as possible, and then in this coaching process found that there were many, many issues. It's not just medications. It's getting to therapy appointments. It's trying to, you know, get to places they need to be with very limited transportation options. So a lot of the social issues that come about and also the disability and medical issues that these stroke patients are facing. And so we turned our medication coaching into transition coaching, and had some wonderful nurse practitioners who understood this problem really well throughout the continuity of care from discharge, from in the hospital prior to discharge to the initial follow-up. And knowing that we needed to shorten the time from when patients are seen, we had nurse practitioners who were seeing patients within 4 weeks or less after discharge, and this became the basis of the care model that's described in my bio for the Comprehensive Post-Acute Stroke Services model of care. And so it started as a small QI project, understanding what patients are going through, and then it developed into this model that's now been tested in 41 hospitals across North Carolina. And it's continued to evolve since then, but I would have to say that's probably my proudest achievement of everything that I've done so far.
And my last question would be about your ongoing research and plans for the future. What could you tell us about them?
Well, based on everything we learned from the COMPASS study, we are adapting that and trying to understand how we can best manage blood pressure after discharge from the hospital. So we're working on, we submitted a large comparative effectiveness trial comparing telehealth management and digital transmission of blood pressures to a central source and wearable technology and sort of a very complex kind of management of data flow to help patients manage blood pressure versus sort of the traditional clinic model. So that's something that we have submitted to the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute for funding, and we'll find out about that in July. And the other thing is that I've been working on intranasal insulin for treating post-stroke cognition, and I've just got some very preliminary pilot data from a randomized trial, and I'm hoping to build on that to make that into maybe a larger trial, because as you all know, there's just not enough that we can currently do other than some basic therapies to try to help people who have cognition and memory problems after stroke. So those are some of the things that that I'm working on.
Oh, that was excellent. Really impressive. So thank you very much for participating in this interview.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.